to the Rogue Startups Podcast, where two startup founders are sharing lessons learned and pitfalls to avoid in their online businesses. And now, here's Dave and Craig.
All right, welcome back to episode 105 of Rogue Startups. Dave, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing pretty well. How about you, Craig?
Doing good, doing good. The kids finally went back to school here this week, so it is a lot of adjustment all around our house. So them adjusting to being back in school, me adjusting to have 8 hours during the day, 4 days a week to get stuff done. So it's been a productive week, but I've honestly been in my own head a lot. So kind of pertinent to what we're going to talk about today, but so much time is not always a good thing, I'm finding.
yeah, that can definitely mess with you a little bit, for sure.
Yeah, how are things going with you?
Well, pretty good. It's we just got off of Labor Day weekend here in the U.S., and we went out of town for our sort of final summer hurrah of camping, and I came back with two kids that ended up getting sick later this week, so they've been home. In contrast to your peace and quiet, I have a little bit of the opposite of coming down into my office saying, "Dad, where's Mom?"
Right, right.
I'm like, "Mom's not here yet."
Constant interruptions are just wonderful,
yeah,
aren't they?
They are, and they'll get better, but it's a little bit of a bummer for them. And, you know, it's a little early in the year to start be getting sick, but, you know, I always call school the petri dish, because every single time they go back, it seems like within the first month, one or more of them has some sort of a virus of some sort. They bring it home, spread it to everybody else. And then after that, we're good until maybe November, December, when cold and flu season kind of ramps up. But we just have to kind of get this one sick out of the way. So here we are. We're at the one sick right now.
Yeah, yeah. Yep, I remember those days. I don't know if it's my rose-colored glasses or if it actually happens, but I don't find that kids are sick as often here. It's all like the fat in the cheese or something like that. But we don't get like the devastating sickness that goes around school. Last year, at least, we didn't. So, yeah, whatever. Probably just got lucky.
I think you're just feeding Bordeaux to all the infants. That's
right.
What it is.
Possibly.
Uh-huh.
So, how's business going?
Well, things are actually in quite a exciting spot here this week. So, my developer on Recapture has been finishing up all of the stuff on review boosts, and we've gone through testing. We've moved the production data over to a test server. We tested the deployment over there. Everything looks good. And now we're just planning the actual push to production right now. And there's a few minor things, like trying to add in some drip tags for the onboarding process, which I've revamped. And I need to start sending those events over. So he's added code to support that. And we're just putting all the pieces in place so that I can get that deployed before I head out to my freelancing client next week.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is deploying Node like a simple process like PHP, or is it more like Rails where you have to have all this fancy kind of automation in place to deploy something?
It's kind of halfway in between. So there's a Node package manager, and if you're updating stuff, like we're actually updating stuff in this release, we're moving versions of Node. So I've got to like run the Node package manager to make sure everything is up to date that matches the current versions of Node. So that's a little bit of a headache, and that's kind of like the magic repository of code similar to what Rails has. But on the other hand, the actual application is like a dead simple deployment. I'm just literally doing a git pull, and it just shows up, and then I just have to do a restart on the package manager for Node, and it's all good.
Nice.
So yeah, it's not hard to work with at all. The only tricky part is in my case here is that I'll have to update three servers worth of code at once, and because we have three different servers that handle different parts. And usually I'm just messing around with one of them. The other two I don't touch so much, but we'll see how this goes right here. I'm a little bit concerned because this is probably the most major update I've done to date. And if something goes sideways, I may not be immediately available to handle it, so I'm trying to decide whether I want to do the deployment this week and have it out there, or if I want to wait a week and a half until I get back so I'm around 24/7. I don't know.
Just wait till like Friday afternoon and push it, or like Monday morning before you get on the plane. That's either of those is
oh, that's exactly
a sure, you know, recipe for disaster.
Absolutely. All right, Friday night it is then. We'll schedule it for tomorrow.
I will never forget. So we launched the major plugin update for Seriously Simple Podcasting the day before I was going to be gone to Paris all day. And it, of course, was like the broken deployment. And so I'm on the train going to Paris with like Wi-Fi from my phone, hotspot to my computer, which like only works half the time trying to – it was a I learned my lesson the hard way there, but Yeah, I would just wait till you get back. If it's a big deployment like that, you will sleep better knowing that you're around to take care of things if you need to.
I think you just convinced me, and I remember the botched business directory deployment that we had where I had to basically do an all hands on deck and get my developers to help me back out the garbage and then repost everything over to the repository, and that was like a 48-hour nightmare. So
yeah.
I don't think I really want to revisit that. Thank you. Thank you for talking me out of that. All right. Yeah.
Well, that's the nice thing about a web app, though, is if it is screwed up, you can just re-pull it or change Git versions or go to a branch or something like that with WordPress, as you know. It's out there and someone downloaded it and installed it already. Now you have to get them to go delete it from their server and reinstall a new – oh, what a change. What a change. So we've been kind of living in a similar world of sort of updating some things with Seriously Simple Podcasting, or Seriously Simple Hosting, I should say, the web app and the hosting environment. We've run up against some infrastructure limits from what we had kind of originally. So some fun changes that we've been kind of navigating there and kind of just thinking about some strategic growth planning from an infrastructure standpoint. So that's been a learning experience for me. So learning about like CDNs, we switched CDN providers this week, which was overall fine, but had its moments where it was kind of edgy. But now looking at like you're saying, running multiple servers and load balancers and decoupling like our database from our server so that multiple servers can run and access an independent database and stuff like that. And it's all on AWS, but yeah, it sounds like a very involved process that we're about to get into in the next probably 6 weeks. We'll spread out the work, but yeah, it's the joys and the pains of growing, I guess.
Yes, yes, indeed. And speaking of growing, that brings us to our topic of today here, which is really the culmination of reading two different articles on groups that we're involved in, right, Craig?
Yep, that's right. Yeah, so one is from a blog that most people listening to this show probably read, and that is the Bare Metrics blog and Josh Pinkford writing. And the other is from James Schramko. So Superfast Business is his kind of main business. And this was from The Forge, right? Tim Connolly's Facebook group, Dave?
That's correct, yeah. He was basically posting some stuff that James Schramko had in there and was talking about this content in relation to entrepreneurs and business growth. And for those that don't know Tim Connolly, he hosted the Foolish Adventure podcast for a long time. He's since shut that down. And now he does entrepreneurial coaching, but obviously he speaks with a great deal of people at various stages of their business, anywhere from, you know, just getting started out, although I think he spends less time there these days than he used to 7, 8, 9-figure businesses. So he's kind of seen the gamut of what, you know, problems and issues people are having as they're growing from 6 to 7 and 7 to higher figures in their business, and the pressures that they're constantly feeling and the mindset that goes into success versus the mindset of failure. And so that's partly why I'm hanging out in the group there, because that's interesting to get Tim's perspective on that. It's much more of a longer term sort of thing. But the specific piece that he was talking about with James Schramko was this notion of seesaw.
Yeah, and so I think that the balance here really is the investment that we all think that we need to make in the infrastructure and the process and technology in our company, and then the investment, time and money and effort and mental energy of growth and of marketing. And in a lot of ways, they are things that can't be done together, complementary, but that in a lot of times one is done at the expense of the other. So if you put a lot of time into server management and load balancers and CDNs and all this kind of stuff like we're looking at right now, admittedly, my time, mental energy, and our financial resources of the company aren't going into things like marketing as much. And I think the flip side of that is 6 weeks or so when we're done with this, then the seesaw hopefully will turn the other way, where we'll start focusing a lot on marketing because we just built this fancy new tool that can handle hundreds or thousands of customers. So we got to go fill that funnel up again. But yeah, I mean, I think Dave, both of us are probably living in this a little bit, that it's a little mentally difficult to acknowledge the fact that you're kind of sacrificing one part of your business for another. And doing that intentionally, because as the, you know, our business is kind of like our baby, we don't want to like, neglect a part of it when we know that we should kind of be doing everything, right?
Yeah, and I mean, there's multiple sort of dimensions to this whole thing here. I feel the same pressures right now with Recapture. Like the past 6 weeks for me have been nothing but focused on developing and adding this feature so that we can push this out there and I can change the price plans and possibly get some expansion MRR out of this, as well as just meeting customer needs. But while I have been focused on this, I haven't been able to do any marketing. So you feel like when you're doing one, you feel like that neglect of the other is costing you the business. But it doesn't matter which side you're on, because when I've been doing all marketing and all sales, I always come back and I'm like, oh crap, there's all this stuff that we haven't gotten done. Customers are asking for this. And you know, I felt that with the plugins as well. It's really frustrating because you just don't have enough bandwidth as a single founder to do it all at once. Even if you have a staff, like you can't be focused on more than one thing. And even if you do have a staff, like you can go to one of them and say, this is our top priority right now. And the other one, you can't be saying to them, this is our top priority, to have them both go, you know, spending at full tilt. One of them is going to be in sort of a maintenance hanging in there mode, and the other one's going to be let's bust it out of here and make it happen mode. That was true of startups that I was a part of. Either we were in full tilt development and marketing was kind of in the background, or marketing was at full tilt and development was kind of in maintenance because we needed to have those sales in order to support more development. But those same forces are still at work even at a scale of 1 to 2 people in a business.
I think that the situation that we both find ourselves in are particularly this situation is particularly heightened, I feel like, where the limit of time and resources that we both have amplifies the effect that you see here, but also kind of how you feel about it, right? So like I was mentioning that the kids are back in school, so I have all day, 4 days a week. Oh, in France, they only go to school 4 days a week now. Did I tell you that?
You did, yeah, and I'm so jealous.
Yeah, so Wednesday, no school. So yeah, we plan on skiing every Wednesday this year. So anyways, but as a but 4 days a week, I have literally 8 hours to think about work now, and I know that I was stressed the fuck out all week this week because I just had to stare at my computer and figure out how to market our new tool and stuff like that, and worry about this money we had to spend coming up. And I think that this talks a little bit about some of the points that Josh makes in his post, is like you have to kind of admit to yourself that you're gonna sort of freak out about all this kind of stuff and be paranoid. But in the end, you can only control like what you can, because thinking that you have all the answers and can touch all the points in your business that you know you should is just a fallacy and not something that is ever really achievable. And when you're able to kind of admit and accept that, then I think this whole dynamic gets a little bit easier. For me this week, I'm definitely not there. Overall, I think I do a decent job of this, but I think when you don't admit and accept the fact that your resources are limited, that you're going to sacrifice one part of your business for the other, and that's just how it's going to be. When you don't do that, you're going to get yourself mentally in trouble, and the rest of the business that you can focus on is going to suffer because of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I feel the same with Recapture's budget right now. So I have this little chunk of money that I saved up from the first six, seven months out of the year, just based on stabilizing Recapture's expenses and things like that. And I was like, all right, now what am I going to spend it on? So my first was, all right, I'm going to build up a bunch of features that the customers want. And then I sort of looked at the cost of that and I was like, well, that kind of kills all of this. And if I don't have more customers bringing in more MRR, then I have to wait another 6 or 7 months to get more development done. And that's going to be tough too, especially since I don't know how long those marketing efforts are going to take. So I'm constantly sitting here looking at this chunk of money saying, all right, well, if I divide it up and I'm going to say this much of it is the marketing and this much of it is the development, how does that limit each of those and what can I afford to do with that chunk that's there? And again, I can only focus on one at once. So right now I said, okay, well, I'm going to get the review booster out there because this actually changes my marketing strategy a little bit. Mm. I decided that this had to go out first because it changes me from an abandoned cart tool to an email marketing tool, which is kind of a big deal. Like it's a different category. If I go into the app store as a Shopify app, I'm not under the abandoned cart category anymore, which is totally competitive and they don't want you to, you know, you're just another Me Too solution in there. But if I go under email marketing, that looks very different. And the competition is also very different in terms of, you know, there aren't as many people that are playing in there. I mean, there's plenty, but if you've seen the abandoned cart, do a search on abandoned cart in the Shopify app store sometime and you'll see a scary high number come back. But you won't see that same number come back in email marketing. So it definitely makes a big difference in terms of where I can take this. It's just you do these things sequentially and you kind of feel like, oh, God, I just can't make traction on the growth here. But sometimes you just have to take a step back and fix the things that are going on right now and put growth on the back burner until you're ready to put things in place that are going to make your growth better. So that's what I've had to tell myself here in the past couple of months with Recapture, because it's super frustrating to know that not everything is happening in the way that I want it to, as fast as I want it to, every day. And this brings us to another point that Josh raised in his blog post, and that is things are always solvable. So in my case of looking at the budget and saying, all right, I just can't get it all done fast enough, if I take things in order and I'm patient, I can get through this. That's the way to solve the problem. It's not the way I want to have it happen. It's not as ideal as I would like it to be. You know, if I had an extra $30,000 laying around, I could make this happen a very different way, but I don't. So this is how I have to solve it for now. It's something you just have to live with.
Yeah. Yeah. We're seeing that right now with some design things. So we're sort of realizing that design in the podcasting space is a big deal. A lot of people look at, you know, how a tool looks and how it feels to use that tool. And right now, admittedly, we have a good looking tool, I think, but it's not great. And people make a lot of their decisions, especially now that SaaS is a lot more saturated. They make a lot of their decisions based on just the look and feel of something. And so we're looking at this now to say, like, we need to spend a couple $1,000s on a design overhaul of our web app and of our media player. And it's kind of tough to say, like, is this going to get us like a lot more customers? I know intuitively that it will, but it certainly is not running a bunch of Facebook ads to a landing page or something like that I think has a really good chance of converting. But yeah, I think that it's kind of like you said, dealing with the problems that you have and the resources that you have. And this is a place that we feel like we need to start spending this money now. But I think it's tough because you don't ever know for sure. And that's like the title of Josh's article is everyone's winging it. And I think that's really kind of like the case, right? It's everyone's saying to themselves, yeah, I know this is where I should spend my money. And this is the side of the seesaw that I should be on right now. Like, Dave, you feel like you should be on the development and product expansion side of the seesaw right now. It sounds like that's true, but that's really like a really well-educated guess, right?
It is. I mean, this whole thing could still blow up in my face. I hope it doesn't. I don't necessarily believe that it will, but the possibility is there. And, you know, this gets to another point of Josh's thing. There's always this sort of constant mild paranoia. Am I doing the right thing? Should I be doing something else? What if my competitors are doing it better? What if I'm not good enough? You know, like all of these things, these doubts, these fears, they're just cropping up on a daily basis. Every little decision that ever comes up, every single thing gets second guessed. I mean, I don't know about you, but that's constantly rolling through my head every day as I'm listening to things, writing lists of stuff I have to do. I'm like, is this really what I should be working on? You know, is this going to move things forward the fastest? Or when somebody, like when a developer in Recapture asked me a question about something, I'm like, well, I think this is right. But, you know, sometimes I know it, but sometimes I don't. And you're just doing the best you can, right?
Yeah. 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 You know, that brings up a good point is that I have stopped listening to as much advice as I used to want to absorb. A year, definitely a year and a half ago, I was like all ears to everyone who had to say anything about business. And I think that really is like paralyzing at a point, right? I mean, if you are overindulging or over like inundating yourself with information, then it gets really difficult to have a clear set of priorities for what your focus is going to be. So I think we've talked about this before, like the further you get down the entrepreneurial road, the less advice you probably should get. And I probably am just seeing like the first stage of that at this point. But yeah, cause I mean, I think that in the end, if you listen to so much that you wake up every day and have no idea which way to go, right. And you have this like giant identity crisis of like who you are and what your business is supposed to look like and all this kind of stuff. And Dave, it sounds like you're doing a good job of filtering all the information and opinion that you're seeing, and filtering it down and distilling it to your developers and in your marketing efforts and things like that. But it definitely can be a challenging thing. I mean, in this like noisy world that we live in, I think that it just gets harder and harder. I think we see more people who have been very successful, like Josh Pigford, who are taking a step back. I mean, he talked about the bubble that we all live in another blog post. I think Josh spends very little time worrying what other people think about his business and listening to their advice. I think he knows who he is and where his business is going. Yeah, but I mean, at this point, he knows exactly what Baremetrics needs to be. And it's been around for 10 years, so he should. But I think that's probably like a place we all should aspire to go is like, I know exactly what Seriously Simple Podcasting is and where it's going. And what everyone else says doesn't matter. And if you could do that, then all of this would be a little bit easier. I certainly am not there yet. I look at our competitors and other people in the market a lot. And I think right now that's healthy. And I think we're getting to a place where we have a really strong identity. But until we get there, listening to other people is healthy to a point.
Yeah, you know, I think we've talked about this in a previous podcast, but you always sort of have to take the context of where advice comes from, right? And if you don't have advice that's coming from a context that you can relate to or a context that is meaningful to what it is you're trying to understand, then that advice may not even be applicable at all. And you just have to sort of discard that. And I don't know that I'm totally awesome about that all the time, but you know, these days I'm finding that if somebody gives me advice on something and I can sort of look at it and say, is this what other e-commerce people are doing, or is this make sense in the context of e-commerce? And if I can say yes or no definitively there, that helps me decide whether I should put a lot of weight on that advice or not. With the plugins, I kind of did the same thing with the WordPress space. And you know, I don't like to discount advice to say, oh, well, that has nothing to do with WordPress plugins. I'm just going to ignore it. Because if I had done that, then I wouldn't have put like email autoresponders into the plugins when I did, which, you know, was a pretty early adopter thing for WordPress plugins. Not very many plugins were doing that at the time. So you have to definitely weigh the pros and cons there. But yeah, taking the context of advice is always very important there. And I think this kind of brings us to really the last point that Josh brought up in his Winging It blog post, which we'll link to in the show notes if you haven't actually read it. It definitely made the rounds on Twitter recently. And that is, all we can really do is just wake up every day and try to do our best. There's no failure for trying and learning something, even if that doesn't turn out to be exactly what you want. Like if you're going out there and you're making something happen in the business and it doesn't turn out the way you expected, you're still making some progress there. But if you go out and you don't do anything because you're like, I don't know what I should be doing, so I just won't do anything, that's not going to get you any further on where you're at this point. And in fact, it'll eventually cause your business to stagnate and die. So you have to get up and try to make some progress and do the best you can. And if it's against the advice or it doesn't make sense compared to the advice you got, try it out anyway. Experiments are not a bad thing, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I think that if you go into a new situation with eyes open that you're going to learn something from it, good or bad, then it's going to be a success. If you go in and sort of flail around and try ignore the lessons that are presenting themselves in whatever new initiative you're running, then that's when you could just go in and waste time or money. But I think something else that's really important, and we've seen a little bit of this recently in our space, is, you know, wake up every day and do your best, be intentional and learn from your success and your failures. But also at 5 o'clock or at 7 o'clock or whatever it is on Saturday, put your phone down, close your computer and walk away. Because if you don't, your business is going to suffer because you're just over inundating yourself with your business. You don't get a chance to take a step back and have some perspective, but also personally, you're doing some really bad stuff to your body and to your family, to your mind. And I think that, you know, Josh hinted at this a little bit, and he's a very successful entrepreneur. He still has a lot of mental angst about his business. And he probably would say that he even needs to do a better job of like taking care of himself and finding that work-life balance. Because I think from my perspective, when I've done a good job of this, it's usually come, kind of by force when we're traveling, right? So when we're traveling, I only have 3 hours a day to work and I feel much better about my work and the business. Actually, I hate to say this, I think the business does better when I don't work as much. But I mean, that's probably true. Like I've really 80-20 it, those 3 hours in the morning and in the evening when we're traveling. And this, like, it's particularly kind of like in my mind right now, because this past week I've literally been at the computer 8 or 9 hours a day, which is really unusual for me. And so I can tell that my mind is just like drained. I don't have good ideas. I can't really think clearly. And I'm probably just talking for myself a little bit here, but I've not done a great job recently with having that work-life balance. And I know if it keeps up, I'll have a whole ton of really bad problems to face. So for everyone out there who's just starting, you got to put the time in for sure, but you got to have like really solid, dedicated off time. Like Tim Ferriss talks about having a day during the week, like a Saturday or Sunday, where he has no technology, no phone, no computer, no iPad. I don't do that, and I don't know if I can do that, but something like that I think is really important for you and for your business and your family and your friends and your long-term health and longevity.
Totally agree. When I was out camping this past weekend with my family, you know, it was really great to have 2 days. I was in a place where the cell phone coverage sucks. We have electricity, but without cell phone coverage, there's no internet, there's no nothing. So just turn off your phone. Doesn't matter. And the only reason my phone was on was so that I could take pictures of my kids camping. You know, that was it.
Yeah.
And it was wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful. I came home to a pile of emails in the inbox, but guess what? I would have had those whether I was waiting for them on Sunday afternoon or whether I tried to keep up with them the whole time that I had left on Friday. So that downtime is super, super important. I definitely felt much, much more rejuvenated on Monday when I came back to do some other stuff around the house and did a little bit of work on the computer. But, you know, I was really ready to attack it at that point, having had that brief break. So I totally agree that, you know, you definitely need to unplug as much as possible, whether that's once a night or once a week. You know, around the house with the kids, it's pretty easy to just say, all right, after five, work is done. I got to go be the taxi now. I'm taking the kids to martial arts. I'm taking them to volleyball. You know, I coach volleyball two nights a week now. So I have forced time to get the hell out of the house. I got to hurry up and eat dinner. And you're not, you know, there's no technology when you're batting a volleyball around with a bunch of seventh grade girls. So you got to be totally focused and on your game at that point.
Or they'll whoop you, I'm sure, Dave, right?
They will. I've got to watch it, actually.
So we'd love to hear your thoughts about this. I mean, I think this really is the intersection of a couple of thoughts, maybe more than two even, that we planned on. But I think that sort of admitting to ourselves that this dynamic exists in our businesses and with ourselves is healthy, and the more we can embrace it as a positive thing, the better for us and our families and our businesses. So, yeah, drop us a comment in below this post or shoot us an email, podcast@roguestartups.com. We'd love to hear from you, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Rogue Startups. If you haven't already, head over to iTunes and leave a rating and review for the show. For show notes from each episode and a few extra resources to help you along your journey, head over to roguestartups.com to learn more.